Once we're saved, everything we become is due to God's grace, His love, His justice, and His holiness. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
We spoke last time of the fact that God gets all the glory with respect to us and our salvation and what we become because of salvation. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, everything we become once we're saved is due to His grace, His love, His justice, and His holiness. There's nothing that we accomplish in this life that is done apart from His strength, His grace, and His holiness. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know. Thanks for joining me as we're continuing our series on finishing the race, which deals with salvation and beyond. I quoted Lewis Berry Chafer last time, and I want to quote him again. He says this, quote, "It may be concluded then that God is moved to act in our behalf from the sole motive of love toward us, and not for gains of any kind whatsoever. It is all to unfold His grace alone," unquote. You know, knowing this, understanding this, how can we say that God doesn't love us? Moreover, how can we not love Him in return? How can we then continue to live a lifestyle of sin after coming face to face with His love that we will never be able to fully comprehend in this life? Doesn't that motivate us, or shouldn't it motivate us to love and serve Him more? It should. You know, I once had an ongoing email conversation with a young man who told me that he was a Christian. He shared with me how he wanted to love God and how he recognized some difficulties in his life, especially toward members of the opposite sex. Well, I did my best to help him through some of the difficulties that he was experiencing, which really isn't easy via email, and he seemed to be making some progress. I sent him some books, and of course I prayed with him, and he seemed genuinely interested. Well, as time went by, I wouldn't hear from him for a while, and then I would check in on him from time to time by dropping him an email. Overall, he seemed to be holding his own. He was hours away from me, so visiting him was rather impossible, but I did my best to locate a church for him in his area. He never seemed to find one that was to his satisfaction, and he told me so. And even though there were a few from which he likely would have benefited, the length of time between emails was getting larger, and it was now usually me writing him to find out what was going on in his life. One day, out of the blue, I get an email from him stating in the subject line, quote, "I am no longer a Christian," exclamation point. Well, he had heard John MacArthur preach on election, and he became very frustrated and disturbed about what he heard. He told me that he thought Dr. MacArthur was a heretic, and he wanted to know what I thought. Well, I plainly told him that I did not think Dr. MacArthur was a heretic here, and I tried to explain the best I could what election was, and that there were essentially two opposing views, election and non-election, Calvinism versus Arminianism. Well, the longer we exchanged emails, the more sarcastic he became. He said he could never worship a God who determined ahead of time who would and would not go to hell. I told him, well, that was his prerogative. If he felt that Scripture was not teaching election, then he was certainly under no obligation to believe it. I tried to redirect his attention and get him reading the Bible more, because I noticed that all of his arguments were completely fabricated through reason, his own reason, but not based on God's word necessarily. He bristled at that and started to turn the tables on me, taking out his frustration there. Well, it was difficult for me to believe, but I guess I should not have been surprised at the turn of events. He stated he had not really given up his lifestyle of sleeping with various women. He didn't believe that God would be upset with it because he was simply, you know, he was not simply bedding down women, but he got to know them first. Well, I quickly began to realize that this was going absolutely nowhere. And in spite of my best attempts and prayer, there was nothing I could do or say to help him understand that if he was in fact a Christian, he needed to use the Bible as his final authority. Not how he felt about something, but it seemed to be a lost cause. Well, to this day, after not having heard from him for quite some time, while I still pray for him, it's doubtful that he has moved any closer to God. He says he's authentically saved, and if he is authentically saved, then I firmly believe God will straighten him out. If he's not truly saved, then he will simply get worse and worse, and one day he will completely leave behind all vestiges of religion. He will be seen as someone who apostatizes from the faith, who walks away. It's a shame and tragic that someone can so resolutely refuse to even attempt to understand what God's word says about living the life of a Christian. One of his last statements to me was along the lines that if God had elected some and ignored others, he would rather spend eternity in hell than go to heaven and worship a quote-unquote monster like that. You know what's the most tragic part of this is that he may get his wish, though I pray not, and maybe you'll join me in prayer for him. You know, salvation is the place each believer starts his or her own race to the end, the race to the finish. During that race, rewards are either gained or they're not gained. It certainly seems clear to me from Scripture that salvation is something that believers possess now. And we can read Luke 7:50, John 3:36, John 5:24, John 6:47, and other areas. Crowns or rewards are things that occur after we have come into possession of salvation. Now again, though, it is important to point out and understand that any crowns we earn, which are additional to salvation, of course, are those crowns that we're going to wind up tossing at his feet. Now, even though we may have quote-unquote earned the crowns, Christ is the one who earned them through us because we submitted to him so that his strength would be used through us to accomplish his will. Whenever we do something in our strength, it doesn't count for anything. Those are things that the wood, hay, and stubble are made of. And being worthless, they're burned up. This is the largest problem with the socialization of the gospel. It amounts to nothing more than works-related salvation, if there is such a thing, and there isn't. There are any number of books and articles on this subject, both for and against. And since I believe that the rewards are completely distinguishable and separate from salvation, we obviously take the view that rewards exist. That's my take on it. Brad Doskosil has written an in-depth article on this difference, and he states this, quote, "Rewards are earned by works and meritorious service," Matthew 10:42, Matthew 16:27, Matthew 20:1-16, Matthew 25:14-30, Matthew 25:34-40, Mark 10:21, Luke 19:11-27, Luke 22:24-30, John 12:26. 1 Corinthians 3, 8-15, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Ephesians 6, 7-8, Colossians 3, 23-25, Revelation 22-12. And Brad continues by saying, quote, "Rewards are a future attainment." And he quotes some of the same verses I just quoted. Now, I went and I printed out a few of the scripture references Doskosil points to, and it should be clear that there is a difference between salvation received and rewards that are received because of the life we live. It's impossible to receive rewards apart from salvation. At the same time, it is possible to have salvation and receive no rewards at all. Quote, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That's Matthew 10:42. And another verse, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew 16:27. And another one, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. And another one, now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed now he builds thereon, or how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And we're familiar with that passage, that's 1 Corinthians 3:8-15, where Paul explains the process, comparing really salvation to rewards that can be earned by following Christ in his strength. Now, quite obviously, neither Doskassil nor anyone else can make these statements without someone taking exception to them. Yet I believe if Scripture is allowed to speak for itself, it's very difficult to come to any other conclusion than what Doskassil has outlined for us. And further, Doskassil relates to us what he believes are a number of important aspects of rewards. Listen to what he says, quote, many scriptures attest that God will recompense, remunerate, reward, or pay wages for the faithful service of his followers. And he quotes a number of scriptures that I've already quoted to. And he says again, believers are promised an inheritance. They become co-heirs with Christ and inherit the kingdom. Such inheritance undoubtedly includes many facets of which are a richer experience of life in the millennium and eternity, ruling with Christ in participation at his wedding feast and in possession of their promised rewards. And he refers again to many scriptures. Rewards or rewarded believers will reign with Christ. God will offer commendation and praise as a reward. Believers can store up treasure in heaven, and those who overcome are promised special intimacy with Christ, Revelation 2:7 and Revelation 2:17. So do we have anything in Scripture that tells us about these crowns or these additional rewards? Well, while there's some information regarding five of these crowns, there's not a great deal of information. You almost get the impression that had God said a great deal more, people would be tempted to work for them instead of simply realizing that these would come to us because of the fact that our eyes are on him, and he alone is the prize. Listen to Philippians 3:12-14, where Paul says, quote, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, unquote. What's Paul saying? He's saying simply that he hasn't arrived. He wasn't perfect yet. No one will be in this life, but he continued to press on, forgetting what the mistakes were that he had already made. And that's what we need to do as well. Well, I pray this show today has blessed you. And I pray before we meet again that God will open your eyes to show you all of the many blessings that we have in Christ.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.